Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this episode, this very special episode, 289 of the Auto Detailing Podcast, cruising right up to 300. Still not sure what I'm going to do for episode 300, but before we get into this episode about how you can really extract gold from body shops and become their go-to resource, I want to tell you about something that we as detailers sometimes obsess over and then sometimes we always need more of and can never have enough of, and that is microfiber towels and autofiber.com specifically. And what I want to talk about is the Jimbo kit. So me and Ian got together and I was like, look, it could be really confusing what GSM, what, you know, NAP, what color, all this stuff are the best for specific areas of detailing. And so what I did was I went through his whole offering at autofiber.com and curated this package of my favorite. So it's over 20 towels and these four scrub pads that I really, really like. I just used one today, steering wheel on leather seats, door panels, works really good. It's a $77 value. And if you buy it on autofiber.com, it's $55. So huge savings. It gives you a nice variety of different towels to choose from. And I would encourage you to check out autofiber.com. If you look at the Jimbo kit and you're like, man, that's the worst kit ever, but you still want to get some towels, use code Jimbo and you can get 20% off and free shipping at autofiber.com. Enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to episode 289 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host today. I'm excited to have Dallin Helmer. Did I get that right?
Yes, Dallin Helmer.
Dallin.
You got it.
I forgot. From DNA Detailing in New Orleans, Louisiana. Dallin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. This should be a really, really good one. We spoke a couple days ago about what we were going to talk about, and so I'm excited to take kind of a deep dive into that. But before we do, of course, I love this story. You know, I love, it's funny, I went to, for Father's Day, I went to the Peterson Automotive Museum out here in L.A., and my wife was asking me, you know, what do you love most about it? And I'm like, you know, the cars are cool, but I really love the story behind the car, or the story behind the car brand or whatever. And that's really what I've tried to do with this podcast, is bring the story of the detailer first to help give us some context and really help people engage in the conversation. So why don't you talk about your story kind of as it pertains to detailing and how you got into it?
Okay, well, it's pretty funny, actually. I used to work as a automotive mechanic, and, you know, I don't know if anybody knows how mechanics work. We kind of work on commission. So if you go in, you don't work anything, you don't make any money. So I always would come home and just kind of like, man, I need to do something to kind of give me a little extra money. And I was washing my truck one day, which I love automobiles, which got me into auto mechanic. And I was just like, man, you know what? I said, this can probably be a good money thing, you know, just a little side thing. I was like, man, I kind of really enjoyed it. I wonder how many couple more cars can I wash and just start, you know, doing a little bit of service for people. And we kind of got started there. And probably about almost around a year ago, maybe in like last month, a year ago, DNA Detailing started. And all we were was basically washing cars. You know, I just got a lot of information offline and just kind of studied as much as I can, you know, clay barring, waxing, basic detailing starting off. And as we grew, we started getting into, I started getting into polishers and big orbitals and paint correcting. And that's actually where we are today. You know, we still get services where we want, you know, people want wax or sealant, but most of our calls lately have been paint correction and ceramic coating.
Nice. And do you have a partner in this, or is it you by yourself, or do you have employees?
It's just me by myself right now. It started as me and my kind of girlfriend started it.
Okay.
And as I became more knowledgeable and I can get more better tools and, you know, speed up the process, I started doing it by myself because I'm capable of doing full details on myself without the extra help.
And what do you think, you know, you said like a lot of people, you started with the basic detailing stuff and then now you're getting more and more paint correction and coating jobs. What What do you have to attribute to that, or why? How did that kind of progression start? Because that's kind of the holy grail for a lot of guys, is that they want to be in the paint correction and coating business, you know, not necessarily the regular wash business. So how have you kind of bridged that gap?
Just honestly, kind of just put it out there. You know, I started with my truck, started with a buddy's vehicle. Just, hey, look what we can do. And, you know, just started from there. But what really kind of got me going and really got me into this field, is which the whole discussion is about, is a body shop call.
So let's talk. Yeah,
an old friend of mine.
Okay, so that is an old buddy that you knew from around the way. Mm-hmm. He calls you and says he needs a coating, or?
He actually called me and said, hey, man, we see you do buffing on cars, which body shops know it as buffing. We know it as paint correction. There's
sure.
a thousand words for it. We got this Mustang, we painted, and we don't have time to buff it. We wanted somebody to come in and do it. Well, we hired a guy, and he didn't know what he was doing. He left. All he knew was rotary, so he left. He did heavy cutting pad with a wool pad and just left holograms everywhere.
Mm.
So he's like, hey, let's just see what you can do. I was like, okay, let's go. So I went over there, brought my supplies, did a little test spot on half the door. They looked at it and loved it. They said, dude, do the whole car exactly what you did. We will pay you whatever you want to do it, because it needs to be done. It's basically kind of a show car. It's a 1993 Fox body that got redone.
Mm-hmm. And what was your process? So it had been repainted and then buffed to death. So what was your process to, I'm assuming it was black?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
So what was, I was going to say, they probably wouldn't call you out for a white car that the customer is complaining about, but what was, or maybe they would, but what was your tool and process of choice for that particular car?
You want me to go like in the product names and everything I kind of use?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I jumped into, I just got used to using my Griot's Garage 15 millimeter throw.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought that over there with me. Shine Supply flat top and Shine Supply classic cut. Flat top was on a microfiber cutting disc from Meguiar's, and the, I want to say, classic polish was on a yellow Rupes pad.
Got it. Okay.
So
nice.
And basically it finished out almost 100% defect free.
Beautiful. And they were just blown away.
They're just like, whoa, you know, what did you do? And they and then this is the thing about body shop. They're like, what kind of glaze did you use? I'm like, glaze. I'm like, I don't use that. This is straight product. This is paint, you know?
Right.
Like, man, I we're not used to doing stuff like that. I mean, there's body shops out there, granted, that can finish a car, but most of them, they're not getting paid to polish, like,
right.
you know, detailer is. They're paid to buff, shine, and just get it out the door.
Exactly.
So.
And then did you end up putting a coating on that car as well, or they were just, and what did they want to do, like an IPA wipe down on that car to make sure you weren't lying, or was?
Oh, no, I did IPA wipe down for them.
Okay. And they, so were they just totally blown away?
Yeah, they were. And then we didn't do the coating that time because it was a kind of a rush job. Like, hey, can you hurry up and see what you can do with it?
Right.
So we did do a crystal lacquer. I think it's liquid crystal from G Technic, which is the coating brand I kind of stick to.
Got it. Okay. And then what happened after they delivered that car to the customer? Did they just start calling you back right away, or what was that like?
Basically, they were kind of impressed. They said, hey, you know, give us some business cards. We'll give you, you know, we'll give you business and we'll kind of do it. Because we get calls like this. We get drop-ins all the time saying, hey, my car's all swirled up. What can you do? And they really can't do anything. They're a, you know, big body shop. They're not used to doing that. They're used to painting, cutting, body work. They're not for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of customers that walk in, and this is my mindset of it, is people think, okay, if my paint swirl or scratch, the first thing they think of is, let's go to the people who do paint, which is body shops.
Right.
Which is not 100% true, because detailers deal with a lot of paint as well.
Right.
So, and then basically people just kept coming in, hey, my vehicle swirled, hey, you know, I wanted buff, hey, they said, don't worry about it, we got a guy for that. Hand me my business card, and basically just kind of roll with it, and they call me up.
You know, it's pretty crazy because I know a few guys that deal directly within the body shop space, and it's pretty crazy how behind they are on the technology of finishing out cars, right? So, but I think it's really an underserved market as well for detailers, mainly or probably because they don't know if there's money in it, because like you said, they're being, you know, the body shop is being paid to repair the damage to the car, not finish out the car perfectly, right? But it becomes a headache when the customer complains about these swirl marks that were induced in that process, right? So it's more of a headache for the body shop than anything else, right? So, but I think that a lot of guys could really benefit from kind of hitting this niche of the body shops and kind of working and connecting with them and showing them what can be done, you know, and really servicing that market or that niche. Have you gotten other body shops off this one body shop, or do they kind of like to keep you to themselves?
I have been getting other body shops. I actually had a call the other day from a totally different body shop. The owner of it wants me to do, you know, the ceramic coat and stuff to his I think dad's vet. And he's like, hey, you know, I can polish. And I was like, well, if you do polish it, if you send it to me, I'm still going to have to charge the coating cost and everything because there's labor involved in it, but no glaze. He's like, no glaze? I'm like, yeah, no glaze, because you can't put a coating on a glaze, so you have to finish paint. So he's like, okay, man, you know what? You sound like you know what you're doing. I'm just going to let you have the whole thing.
So it's really this idea of no glaze is really throwing everyone for a loop.
Yeah, because like I said, body shop, that's mostly how they finish cars,
right?
You know, and that's kind of just getting it out the door and stuff like that. I mean, you see posts all the time about after, you know, car gets at a body shop, looks amazing, and then 4 weeks down the road, it's like, man, what the heck happened? Did I wash it wrong? Because it's just washing off, you know?
Right.
And I'm not saying glaze is a bad thing. If it works for you in your detailing world, go at it. I'm just not, you know, using it. I just don't like it. I just don't like what it stands for, you know?
Right. So what advice, yeah, because I think a glaze has its purpose, and you know, body shops are running on tight margins, I assume. So just like everyone trying to run a profitable business, so they got to do what they got to do with what they have and their knowledge. You know, I think a lot of that is changing and trying to change with the body shops, but I think it's a slow process to, you know, tell someone who's been in the industry for 30, 40, 50 years that a new process is coming out. Yeah, it's time to change.
Yeah, right.
So when
it's like, oh, let's do it a little differently.
Exactly. So when you wrote in, or when we talked, you said, I just want to set the record straight with everyone out there in the detailing world, the difference between body shop and true detailers. And still talk about the rise of your detailing and business and all that. Is setting the record straight, you know, that kind of showing body shops that there's ways around glazes, or what does that mean to you? You know, what does setting the record straight mean to you between body shops and, in your words, true detailers?
Well, I'm just, what I kind of need to put in my words is, don't let, you know, I want, as a detailer, I'm pretty sure most of us, you know, want real results. We're in it for the finishing ability and stuff like that. I just don't like people getting fooled, like say, oh, somebody did a whole paint correction one day and really they glazed the car and that's about it. I mean, that feels deceitful for me. You know, if I paid $300 to get my whole car paint corrected, you did it in one day and you glazed it, I mean, that's heartbreaking, you know? That makes our field look bad.
And right.
I just want people to know what a glaze is, because so many people are misunderstood, because like the last guy I talked to in a body shop, he thinks, you know, and like I said, he's old school. He thinks that a glaze is the only way to finish a car, because he told me, he's like, you will never finish a car without a glaze, because if not, the swirls and marks will come back. I'm like, no, that's where you're wrong. They're coming back because most likely they're using a rotary. I don't know. I'm not speaking for all body shops. I'm just going on common knowledge here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they only mostly finish down with rotary, which, you know, if you're really good at rotary, you can finish down, but most of the time you're going to leave holograms, buffer swirls, all that stuff.
Right.
And if you do it enough, it might swell the paint. And, you know, it'll come back later, even if it looks good now. 4 hours later, it'll come back and, you know, look like horrible.
Totally. What advice would you give, or is there a certain kind of lingo that you use when you're going into these body shops to try to, you know, obviously it sounds like most of it is referral based, which is probably helpful. They already kind of know what you're about, but you know, say someone out there wants to kind of start targeting body shops. Say they live in an area that has a lot of body shops, and they're like, you know what? This may be an underserved market, or this may be, you know, instead of lately I've been talking a lot about dealership detailing and how that could be profitable and how that could create, consistent income. Same could be said, I would think, with body shops, right? Because they don't really care if it's going to rain the next day. They just want the car to look as good as it possibly can and get it out the door, right? So can body shops be a lucrative niche to hit?
Meaning like be like a detailer can be profitable I mean, I see it can, because I mean, the thing is, like I said, I'm getting all these corrections and I'm posting it, and more and more people are seeing it, and it's putting me into the category, like I said, most detailers want to be, is ceramic coatings and paint corrections. So the more I do from this body shop saying, hey, do this, or this person got a swirled up car, I also educate the customer too, because I have a lot of people, and I also inform the body shop, like, hey, I do ceramic coatings as well. I had to kind of educate them on it. And, then they kind of start telling people, so I got people calling me, hey man, you got that ceramic wax. And I'm like, right. It's a coating, but I mean, this is, I try to educate customers as much as I can on everything I do. And I have people that says, hey, Dallin's the only person I know that can sit here through a detail, let you watch him. He can tell you every step he's doing and it will make sense.
Got it.
So I like to educate my customers and then even educate the body shop on what I'm doing, what's happening, what spray I'm using, what mixture's that. I try to educate people, not enough to give my secrets away, because, I mean, I do have, a little bit of stuff here and there that I can't give away, but just to educate them enough where they said, okay, this guy kind of knows what he's doing, or they can tell other customers, this is what he does, so he's kind of professional with it,
Right. Okay. So you're walking into a new... I just think, I've never really even thought about body shops. I've done a little bit of work for body shops before, but mainly like washes and stuff to help them get the stuff out the door and prevent them from going to the local car wash. But I just think this finishing out the cars for the body shops could be such a cool thing. And they're dealing with so many cars. Usually.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's so many customers that they're talking to, so many opportunities there. And I even see an opportunity for them to just try to bring it in-house and take a little cut off the top and give you most of the money, but they're just funneling the customers directly to you. That would be an awesome gig as well. Is that starting to happen at all, or have they talked about wanting to do that, or they're good enough by just having you as a resource?
Kind of right now as a resource, just because their style of painting is kind of like, it's either custom and it's somewhat like, insurance jobs and just regular paint jobs and stuff, but they do also a lot of custom work too.
Got it.
Airbrushing, candy paint and all that stuff. So I'm actually trying to get one of their custom paint jobs to come over to my house to get ceramic coated or even finished down. So they said they want me to do a old school Cadillac. I'm talking about like 60s that they're going to refinish and send to me to do the finishing process.
Wow. Cool.
So
you're dealing with a little bit, I'm assuming then, a little bit of a higher end shop.
Kind of custom.
I guess custom would be a better term than maybe high end, but a custom shop that can see the value in it. That's what my mind totally went blank. So how has this changed your business then? Because I know you're still working 5 days a week at another job, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how has this, are you looking to transition out of that, or how has this body shop kind of thing transitioned, or has it enabled you to stop doing the run-of-the-mill details?
I kind of still get, like I said, I get calls for run-of-the-mill details, and then I get calls for coatings, and I kind of just got a list on like who calls first and what job, so I'm kind of just going off what I can get to, especially since I tell them, hey, look, I only work 2 days a week on mostly weekends or Fridays if I'm off to do these vehicles. I do have a certain time limit I can do.
Right.
So, and there's certain jobs I can do, because, I mean, with the body shop, you also get some weird calls. You get calls, hey, I got trash all in my paint from another guy. I brought it to, the body shop you go to, and they recommended you. I'm like, well, I'm not used to doing a lot of heavy sanding all over the car. I'm more finishing OEM paint jobs or even aftermarket paint jobs that have already been kind of wet sanded down. I can do it, but it's just going to cost more, and I just kind of got to factor in the cost, because I never did that big of a job. I never said, oh, I'm going to wet sand an entire vehicle. Usually I'm stuck around three-step processes, which is fine sanding certain scratches and then doing a two-step process behind it to boost the clarity and get rid of the swirling.
Totally.
So you will get those weird jobs if you get into body shops like that. You know, you also get called, hey, can you fix this? And some people will come up to you. And they don't send me like crazy, crazy work saying, oh, man, the clear coat's peeling off this thing and you can fix them. Like, no, they know my restriction, what I can do and what I can't.
Got it. That makes total sense. All right. What else did you want to talk about in regards to business, body shop stuff, detailing in general, any of that?
Basically, I mean, I know there's a lot of guys, like say, want to get that holy grail of paint correction and coatings. All I can really say is, honestly, just get out there and do it. You know, if you want to do it, put yourself out there, you know, do jobs, practice on your car, practice on your mom's car, practice on whoever car you want. And then once you feel confident enough that you can go out and say, go to places like, yeah, I do paint correction. Let me show you. Like, so even go to these body shops. If you know somebody, like say you have a friend that has a body shop or works in one, say, hey, can I speak to your boss about maybe, you know, talking? Because like I said, all these people that go to these body shops, they say, hey, I got swirls in my paint. Hey, I need a quick buff. To most people, a quick buff is our version of paint correction. You kind of got to educate the customer on what it is and, you know, what it take. That's why I also like educating my customers.
Right.
But just try to get in that lingo, even detail about, you know, detailing, dealership detailing, like you were right. saying, that's also a good market, you know, and if you want to do it, if you want to set yourself to do it, just go out there and do it, you know?
Right.
Just be very cautious and take every precaution you can, but make sure you're getting the job done, you know, to your satisfaction, to the customer satisfactory level.
So when you say take precaution, what do you mean by that?
Don't go out and try to just grab a rotary and go crazy on a car.
Got it.
You know? So, like, I started off. Good.
No, go ahead. That makes total sense.
Oh. No. I started off, honestly, with a little chemical guy set, the smallest DA they had, and, you know, worked my way up to starting to get to the big throws and the heavier compounds. And as I kept going and progressing, I learned more about what these do and, you know, what you not do and stuff like that. I still haven't mastered rotary, honestly. I just use it on certain panels. I will not go over a whole car with a rotor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I haven't had the skill set to say I'm comfortable doing an entire car with a rotary when I can just finish with a 15 millimeter. I'm about to be getting a 21 and finish down with those.
Right. Yeah, but I think the important thing to see too is that you know your limitations, but you're also not afraid to push those limitations a little bit and learn and get paid to learn, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because honestly, you know, doing a rotary on a panel isn't much different than doing the whole car, because you still know, you know, you still have to take the same precautions on that one panel as you do the whole car. You know what I mean? But you're still, it's better to not go overboard.
Then, like I said, I try to not learn on customers' vehicles. I try to, like, if I want to learn something, get new product in, I go put it on my truck or somebody's vehicle. Or I'll even talk to the body shop and say, hey, give me a black hood that's wrecked, and I'll bring it to the house and tear it up, do whatever I got to do. Learn where the stopping point is, you know? So what's it going to take to burn this edge? What's it going to take to mess up this paint? Once you do that, you're like, hold it, and you sit back like, man, it takes that much to burn a panel? Okay, now I know not what to, you know, not
exactly.
Do that.
I, you know, that's probably my favorite thing to do or favorite advice to give out is go, and you could actually do both. Go to these body shops, tell them how well you could finish out cars, right? Because worst case scenario, you know that you can remove the swirl marks. Even if you can't get the paint 100% defect free, as far as maybe micromarring or something like that, you know you could at minimum get rid of the swirl mark, the buffer induced swirl marks, right? But then
but that's what most people see too. Most people only see swirl, they don't see the micromarring, you know.
Exactly. So you know that you could already meet their needs, and I know that people want to make the paint perfect, but ask them, hey, do you have any scrap panels laying around that I can, you know, pick up? Or maybe that's your lead in of like, hey, you know, I'm just looking for scrap panels. And then they're like, well, what the heck are you looking for scrap panels for? Oh, I'm looking, you know, I'm perfecting my, you know, paint polishing techniques. And that may open up the door for additional things. But I love the idea of practicing on panels and making mistakes on scrap panels versus, you know, customer's car that you're gonna end up paying the body shop for.
Yeah, that's definitely a big no-no.
Right. Cool, man. So yeah, I think we did it. Is there any last things you want to talk about or discuss?
I'm trying to think. I think I had one more thing. Oh, just the last thing is just detailing and body shop world's totally different. It's, I don't know if anybody's ever talked to a body shop guy and just got real deep discussion about it, but I mean, it's totally different. Like, we call, I don't know what you personally call it, I call a heavy cutting compound a compound, and basically all finishing polishes or jeweling polishes or whatever I gotta call them, they don't call them that. They call a compound a heavy cutting compound, but they call a polish
right.
Swirl remover.
Oh boy.
You know, and that's what some are called, but they're like, I went to a place, kind of needed some sand in this, and I was going to this body shop, and I actually had to take an orange peel out of bed for a guy at the body shop. You know, you talk to him, he repainted the vehicle, he's like, hey, we're gonna send it to Dallin, and he's going to take the orange peel out the bed and correct the rest of the truck and ceramic coat it. So I had no problem with that. I don't mind doing the whole bed and doing 2,000, 3,000 grit and everything.
Right.
So I talked to the guy, I was like, hey, do you have any sand in this that I can get and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, do y'all got any compound just to see what's local? You know, just, I like my product. I just wanted to see what walk in the store, pick up.
Totally.
And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, we got this compound. And then if you need a darker color car, we have a swirl remover. But if it's a lighter color car, you don't need to do that. I'm like, well, technically you do, because lighter color cars still have swirl no matter what. They're just looking at it as light color and dark colors.
Sure.
You know, and that's what I was saying earlier. They're just trying to get it out. So a white car, they might just compound just to get it out the door. But a black car, they're going to finish with a swirl remover.
Right, right. And that's a whole learning curve too, is and that could be relayed into, you know, regular retail detailing too, is that, you know, you have to know the lingo of the person you're talking to and how to almost translate that lingo into what it really means for you, and then mm-hmm. relay it back to them of like, well, this is why that isn't, you know, a glaze isn't a cutting compound or a, you know, good finishing, whatever, a, you know, a compound isn't a heavy cut compound isn't a polish.
Yeah, right. You know? And then one more thing too is, if people do go to body shops and get say a body shop does take like a swirl removing job in, body shops don't have the product. They don't go looking for products like we do. Like, I'm always online searching for the new thing and stuff like that.
Great
they just
point.
Get what's local and what works.
Yep.
And if they're going to take in that job, they're most likely going to leave it with a wax, which a detailer, you might even pay less because they have to do a labor rate in the shop,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, some shops, I don't really know. I'm just going to throw out a number, $100 an hour.
Right.
And let's say they quote you 2 hours. That's $200 to most likely compound or whatever they do. I don't know what they're going to do. Put a wax on and leave, which when you come to us, we might charge you, let's just say, I'm just throwing out figures. These are relevant, completely relevant. You know, $95, I'm going to buff the car and I'm going to put you with a sealant. I'm going to give you something that's a step up.
Right.
So we, you know, over they just kind of do what works. We kind of go with above and beyond, try to get the best protection, the best wax, the best polish, the, you know, whatever we can get our hands on. They just, you know, mostly I see body shops use 3M, which is no problem with that, but there is outside of stuff versus 3M that, you know, will perform better on certain paints and what have you.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's probably a great point. Body shops are buying whatever comes off the truck, whatever, you know, whatever they've been using forever because it's tried and true and they know that it works every time. And that's why guys that are trying to sell products to body shops have such a struggle breaking in, is because it's hard to break that mold of like, why should we change? This works. This has always worked. Why do we need anything different? You know, so that was a great, great point. If people want to connect with you, find you, pick your brain about body shop detailing, how can they find you?
Two social medias. I got an Instagram, which is DNA, like the letters DNA space detailing. And it should be a black logo with a white picture. And the MySpace, not MySpace, I'm sorry, completing Facebook. Is DNA Detailing LLC. I had
not MySpace.
I don't know why. Yeah, no MySpace. Not yet. We're getting there.
Yeah. Perfect.
That was complete. I don't even know.
And I'll have all this linked up in the show notes below if people want to check that out. So cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all your knowledge.
All right, no problem, man.
All right, that was another great episode. Thanks to Dallin for sharing his information and also for taking the time out of his day to bring you guys knowledge as well. That's always cool. I hope you guys really extract something out of this episode and use it for your gain, whether that's going to a body shop or whatever it may be doing. I hope you guys learned something and some takeaways and some cool tips and tricks. Of course, autofiber.com, save 20%. Use code Jimbo or pick up that Jimbo kit. You will not be disappointed. And I got a video in the works. I've been putting out videos over on my YouTube channel. You could go to autodetailingpodcast.com/YouTube and that'll redirect you to my YouTube channel. But I'm going to be putting out a YouTube video going over the Jimbo kit from Auto Fiber, so that may interest some of you guys. All right, thanks for listening. Catch you guys next week.